Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. Today's topic, seven things to consider when buying a lot. Hey guys, if you're in the market or considering building a home, one of the first things you're going to need to do after getting pre-approved, of course, and getting some ideas of what type of home you're going to build is to figure out the lot. Where are you going to build this home and what do you need to know? And it's kind of been alarming to me lately, some of the things I've been seeing out there when people are buying lots, because there's been a lot of challenges for especially a lot customer, a customer buying a vacant piece of land, because a lot of things have changed in the past few years. When I first did this podcast, I actually do have an early episode. You'd have to go back in the archives for this one, but we have one that talks all about, you know, buying land and what to know before buying a lot and that kind of thing. And still very good and relevant information in there. And certainly feel free to check that one out. But I've noticed just some changes in things in the industry. And there's a couple reasons why. One is we're seeing more and more of these kind of B and C lots hitting the market. Some of these are just older subdivisions where there's a piece of, you know, land, a lot left. Maybe somebody bought two lots and they're selling off one piece of it. Maybe it's a situation where you've got a guy that decides to buy some acreage and just tries to put in a street and sell a couple quick lots. They don't really know everything that they're doing. They don't do it the same way as a developer. Or you just have some developers looking at trimming costs. Either way, these things are creating some situations for homeowners and people building homes that I want to talk about here today. So let's get into it. Let's talk about the seven things to consider when buying a lot. This is probably the first one, and it's been an irritant for me, and that is soil tests. Now, especially on a rural lot where you're going to have a septic system, this is vitally important. Yet, there are so many developers and people putting in subdivisions now that are not providing a soil test for a septic system. And it kind of baffles me, and it's really important to have this. And it kind of drives me nuts because, like, I always provide one when I do my subdivisions. I already have the soil guy there, and it's easier for him to just, let's say you do a 30-lot subdivision, it's easier for him to just go ahead and put 30 tests together, just spend, 2 days out there drilling holes digging holes, having a certified soil person look at them and then get the test. It drives the cost way down when you have that economies of scale. Yet so many of these developers are not providing these. And then they sell the lots and say, okay, well, figure it out yourself. And it's irritating that they do this. Now, they can't completely get away with this because they do have to do some random, pits throughout the subdivision. But I wouldn't buy something if I didn't know where I could put the waste system because it could drastically affect your lot. So know the soil test and make sure you have that. If you don't and the developer will not provide one, then what you need to do is make your offer contingent upon, an acceptable soil test and an acceptable location for the soil test. Now they'll argue, hey, it's okay. You can do it yourself and put it wherever you want. Well, that's not really true. There's some lots where there's only one spot for the soil test. What if you're expecting a conventional system, which is maybe a $9,000 type of septic system in our market, and it turns out to be a mound system, and now it's $16,000, $17,000? Worse yet, what if it's a holding tank and it's $22,000? Now you've got a real problem. And, if you've already bought the lot, well, you're just out a bunch of money. Plus, the test itself is $1,500 to $2,000, and it may not go exactly where you want it. And now your house location and plans for your dream house are messed up, or you got this big mound system right in your backyard, right where you're going to put your swimming pool. So get the soil test or make it contingent upon a soil test if they do not include it. The next thing, which is a separate item, number two on the list, but can sometimes be related, is groundwater elevation test. Now, not everywhere around the country requires this. This is a really big thing in Wisconsin. So before you can get a building permit, especially in my county, Waukesha County, you have to have a groundwater elevation test. Now, this can be done at the same time as your soil test if it doesn't have it. And again, if it's in Waukesha County and some of the other counties around the state, they require this. Yet the developers don't provide it. So you're selling a lot and you don't even know where or how deep you can put the basement in. That's frustrating because I've had so many people already come to me, hey, I bought this lot, I'm ready to go. And you all of a sudden are like, well, you know, let me look at this thing. And you're like, where's the groundwater test? I'm like, I don't have it. You're like, okay, well, how am I supposed to estimate this? Because I don't know now how deep I'm going to put the house in the ground. If it's a bad groundwater test, it might be that this thing is only in the ground 2 feet. Now your garage is sticking out of the ground, you know, 7 feet. Now I've got to put 7 feet of stone by 40 feet all, and then, you know, around the garage. And then I've got to bring it all the way down the driveway. That's going to get really expensive for you. So we need to get that test. That is a $2,000 test on its own. Now, if you combine it with the soil test, a lot of times you can get the whole thing done, maybe $2,500 or $3,000. But again, this is an extra expense that you have to make. And you should definitely not buy the lot without having that and making it contingent upon that. Because it has a vast effect. You know, it could make the difference between having a full walkout basement with beautiful patio door and windows on it to just having a partial exposure to having no exposure. And it could mean tons of extra grading. It could mean tons of extra dirt. Getting extra dirt right now is one of the biggest challenges we have in the industry because it seems like almost every lot in our area needs to be built somewhat out of the ground. And so there's usually not as much extra dirt laying around. You'll get some out of the basement when you dig it, but when you have to hold the house out of the ground 4 or 5 feet, now you have half the dirt that you would normally have, and you know it's not going to be enough. So make sure the second item you get when you buy your lot or you understand is the groundwater test. All right, the third thing you're going to want to look at when you buy a lot is the Homeowners Association, the HOA. Well, why would you care about that? Well, it's important to know if that exists. First of all, do they have one? And is it set up? If it is, you need to look at the structure of it just so you understand, because this is going to be something you're going to be dealing with, you know, a year from now, 10 years from now, possibly, and even longer. And then what are the HOA fees? Some of these subdivisions, you know, it's great that they have an amenity in the subdivision. Maybe there's a playground or a pool or, you know, a dog park or whatever it is. Well, those things are awesome, but everybody does have to pay for it. There's an initial cost to put it in, which is probably baked into your lot cost. But then there's the other hidden item, and that's the cost to maintain that stuff. And even the beautiful subdivision signs and monuments or the waterfall or the pond, all those things have to be maintained and paid for by you, the homeowner. So you need to understand how much the fees are right away. Look at the budget to just see where the money's going and understand that that number's probably going to go up over time. And especially if you get, pardon my language, some goofy homeowners, you know, you get a couple of goofy homeowners in your subdivision that want, you know, Cadillac 24 hours type service. You know, there's a dandelion. I need somebody here, you know, immediately to pull this one dandelion out. Well, that's going to get expensive. And that means everybody pays for that. So look at those HOA fees. Look at the makeup of it. Look at how often people are elected to the board. Look at, you know, the dues structure. Look at what's all included with that. And make sure you fully understand it. Even kind of understand if there's anything that you want to do, how that would get approved. You know, if you're used to living in a rural community where you don't have a lot of that, it may bother you that you have to go and get written approval to put, you know, this garden gnome you got for Christmas out in your front yard, or to, you know, you want to put a, you know, one of those plastic fountains up or a bird bath, and they won't allow you to do it without getting written approval and all these things. That may not be for you. So number three is understand the HOA makeup and fees. Number four consideration for buying a lot, easements. So many people ignore these or just don't pay attention to them, and a lot of developers just don't really show these very well on their plats or on their marketing materials. They should be on the plat, but a lot of times they don't put them on their marketing materials. And again, this could vastly affect your property. Hey, this is a beautiful lot. Look at this awesome lot. And then there's a gas main easement cutting through the middle of the lot. Or worse, you know, you've got a big drainage easement on the side of the property, and you know, it's gonna drop down, you know, 4 feet there, and that was where you're gonna maybe put your driveway, and now you have to flip your house, and you don't get the same view, or you've got to put a retaining wall in to kind of break the grade up, and it adds a lot of expense, and of course now you're always gonna have this sort of depression going all the way through your lot. Now, I've also had issues with homeowners, you know, where we do have a drainage easement. A lot of subdivisions have these. It's just a depression where water is supposed to naturally roll to, collect, and then get distributed to either a pond or taken off-site. These easements become a nuisance for people because, you know, they want to do something with it. Well, you can't. You can't put a tree there. You can't block it. The other thing you can't do is, you know, you can never build a structure there, so that's another problem. But the other thing that happens with these that annoys people greatly is when you do have a storm or when that snow melts, if you're in a cooler climate, it tends to puddle up, and it puddles up in there. And then they go, I have standing water. I shouldn't have standing water in my yard. Well, I have running water. Yeah, you have a drainage easement in your property. That's where the water's supposed to go. We get these calls all the time. So understand the easements. Look at what they're for. You know, if they're utility type easements, you know, you're definitely not building anything over it. And you certainly, you know, aren't going to be able to dig or anything in that area without being extremely careful. And if they're a drainage easement, you're going to expect water there. You're going to have a lower spot in your lot, and it's not going to be a perfectly tabletop top flat lot. All right. So we've gotten the fourth thing. Let's go to the fifth thing to consider when you're buying a lot, deed restrictions. Oh my gosh, so many times people have went to buy a vacant lot and they buy it and then they come to me. First time I've ever talked to them, and they're like, this is my lot, I love it. And you're like, oh yes, it's beautiful. And you know, we talk about budget. Well, my budget's, you know, $500,000 for the home. You know, we already have the lot included in that, or, you know, separate from that. Okay, great, $500,000. I'm like, oh, did you realize that you have to have this 10-12 roof pitch? That's not normal for homes. That's going to be additional. Did you realize you have to put these special heavier shingles on? That's going to be additional. Do you know that you got to have over half the front with stone? Oh, no, I didn't realize that. Did you know that, you know, every window has to look the same as far as shutters and window grids and those kind of things? Oh, no, I didn't realize that. Oh, okay. And you start ticking these little things that add up and add up and add up. And all of a sudden, you look at this and go, you know, the minimum type of home you have to build in here is $600,000. Because did you realize that not only is there a 3,000 square foot minimum, but you have to have 1,700 square feet on the first floor? Oh, no, I didn't realize that. Well, that's a pretty big house. So you have to look at the deed restrictions. And then if you're not sure what that means or what that would do to your pricing, then you need to check with the builder and make sure that you understand what some of the costs are, the minimum cost to build a home. Because I've seen it where people have bought lots. Oh, I can afford this. You know, I can afford a $160,000 lot. So they go buy a $160,000 lot. But you can't afford, you know, all those restrictions. And maybe you can afford a $500,000 house and you can do whatever, $660,000 package, let's say. But when the development requires you to add another $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 to the house just to get it passed, now you can't afford it anymore. So make sure you check with the builder, read through the deed restrictions, and understand what's really in there so that you're not missing something. All right, the sixth thing you need to consider when you're buying a lot is the grading plan and if they have grading maps. Many subdivisions do have, you know, a grading plan, and you have to follow that. So if there's a grading plan in there, you can't all of a sudden just put a big berm up in the backyard if it conflicts with the grading plan. Additionally, if you have a lot that has a septic system or a mound system especially, you have to make sure the mound fits within the grading plan. And heaven forbid you buy a lot with a mound and a drainage easement on it and a utility easement on it, and you've got a weird groundwater situation, it can be very challenging. You may have trouble even moving the water away from your house and getting it located properly, or even making sure the mound system fits in there properly. So you're going to have a copy of the grading plan from your developer or from who you purchased the lot from. And if they don't, some municipalities require that you do a grading plan. So some subdivisions do not have a master grading plan, and the building inspector will require you to get one. And that can be another $300 to $500 right off the bat just from a surveyor to get that document that you need, and that's not provided. So you've got to understand that, and that could, again, have a profound impact on the cost of the home. All right, the seventh and final thing you need to look for when you are buying the lot, this is more for our people that have a fully improved lot, like city sewer and water, is sidewalks and curbs and approaches. You have to understand those items and how those relate to the cost of the home. Now, some of these subdivisions will have these beautiful sidewalks, and they'll have this really nice curb poured all the way through. And then, of course, you have this concrete approach or apron. So how you can visualize these, if you're not sure what this is, the curb is usually like a concrete bumper that goes between the road, the asphalt road, and the grassed area on your lot. So that's called a curb that kind of holds things in place, and it's a nice clean look. And then you would have your approach, which is typically kind of like a angular piece of concrete that, again, connects the edge of the road to maybe a public sidewalk that's in the subdivision. Then, of course, you have the sidewalk, which is, you know, usually 3 or 4 feet wide squares of concrete that go around your subdivision that people can walk on. So that all kind of comes together. Now, some of these subdivisions have that all put in front right away. Some will have just a curb running all the way through the subdivision. Well, you can't put your driveway through this curb. You're going to have to cut the curb open. Otherwise, you're going to have this big hump when you pull up your driveway. So a lot of developers will just pour a continuous curb all the way through the subdivision, and because they don't know where you're going to locate your garage or your driveway entrance. And now you got to pay somebody, you know, $700, $1,200, $1,500, $2,000 to cut the curb open to put your driveway in. That's one cost for you. The other thing that can happen is, let's say that they, you know, you have that, you got to cut the curb, but here's the other thing, you still got to build the house. So if the sidewalks are in your subdivision, and say you have to build a house, well, you got to bring dump trucks over it and excavators and big box trucks and all sorts of other delivery trucks over this sidewalk for months and months and months. And now the sidewalk is cracked. Guess who has to pay for it? You do, Mr. Homeowner. You have to pay for the busted sidewalk. So understand that if those sidewalks are in, you could very well be responsible for those. And again, if you're doing concrete driveway, you know, you could have a section of sidewalk replaced when you're doing the driveway, but still an extra expense. And it can add up. So understand that. Or, you know, some of these developments, again, too, if they pour the continuous curb, they probably don't have the approach in. And that can be, you know, $1,500 to $2,500 per home to put these approaches in. So understand that that is another cost that you would have when you buy an improved lot. You may still have to adjust those driveway entrances and those curbs. And you may have to, you know, pay to have sidewalks replaced at your expense. So these are all things that can cost you extra money. They can make the project challenging. And the more you know up front, the better off you will be. The last piece of advice for you guys, if you are looking to buy a lot, please, and I tell this to all my customers, not every builder will do this, but I do it. Have the builder come out and look at the lot and give you an opinion on the price of the improvements and the things that you're going to expect as you build a home on this lot, because it can profoundly impact the cost of construction and the cost of your final home.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to The Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.